Our next guest was a staff writer on Saturday Night Live for many years, where he created Deep Thoughts, the dark and surreal ramblings that appeared as text on screen, kind of like a Hallmark card on acid. He went on to write a series of Deep Thoughts books and humor essays for The New Yorker, Playboy, and other magazines. That's why you read Playboy. Despite the rumors that he's not a real person, he is actually here with us today, and he's come out with a new book of essays called What I'd Say to the Martians and Other Veiled Threats. I'd like to welcome the exciting and mysterious Jack Handy.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with your book, which I was reading on the elliptical trainer laughing out loud at the gym, embarrassing myself.
Good.
One of my favorite essays is Ideas for Paintings, in which you very generously offer artists some suggestions for things to paint. And of course, you ask for all the money, which is fair if the painting is sold. Would you please read a few suggestions for us?
Sure. One is a stampede of nudes. The trouble with most paintings of nudes is that there isn't enough nudity. It's usually just one woman lying there, and you're looking around going, aren't there any more nudes? This idea solves that. What has frightened these nudes? Is it the lightning in the background? Or did one of the nudes just spook? You don't know, and this creates tension.
Sure it does. How about the Bleak Hotel, please?
The Bleak Hotel. A man is looking out the window of a bleak hotel room. He looks depressed. From the side, flying through the air, is a football. And you realize, if he's depressed now, just wait until he gets hit in the head by that football.
And this creates tension.
This creates tension.
And finally, please, the repentant Cameron Diaz.
The repentant Cameron Diaz. Cameron Diaz, her tear-streaked face lit by a candle, gazes wistfully at a picture of me.
I want to send this to every art history department across America.
I have to mention Cameron Diaz because I read somewhere that she actually has a cat named Jack Handy. So
really?
I try to put her in my pieces when I can.
You know that Floyd Landis has also mentioned you? Do you know this?
Yes, yes.
Let me tell everybody. Floyd Landis, the cyclist who won the Tour de France and was then stripped of his title for allegedly doping, maybe he was just juicing on the jack. He described his usual ritual with his physiologist between stages of the tour. Here's a quotation. Sitting in a team bus festooned with sponsors' logos, the pair took turns reading dark, humorous quotations from a book by Jack Handy while listening to Metallica. How do you feel about that, Jack?
I'm very proud. He's the man. I was happy to hear that and sad to hear he got busted.
Do you think that Metallica is the appropriate background music for reading one of your books?
Probably. Although, you know, I actually, I was very proud that, Nirvana actually has a deep thought in one of their, I guess it's Kurt Cobain or somebody reading it.
Really?
In a silent part of one of their songs. I think it's called I Want to Die, and they're all about I Want to Die.
His songs are your deep thoughts.
His songs, I guess. Now, and my deep thoughts, basically.
Well, many of your essays give out advice, like how to prepare a wild-caught rabbit for a meal, or how to make your skeleton really scary after you're dead, or how to earn the respect of fellow men. Are you an actual fan of how-to books or advice givers on TV?
I guess it's sort of an easy format for humor where you tell people what to do, and telling them to do stupid things is fun. So that's how it usually works out, not intentionally.
Do you ever watch Dr. Phil or Susie Orman or anything?
No, I'm not really a fan of those, actually.
Why? Because you have it all figured out?
Yes, read the deep thoughts. All of life is there.
Jack, in your book, you seem to have a beef with your so-called friend Don. He comes up repeatedly, and you do things like ask Martians to anally probe him, or you say that you never want to pay him back. What happened between you and Don?
Don, you know, Don has problems, and he blames them on me, and I'm not going to take it. Don is just a totally made-up person. Although my friend Ian Fraser actually has a friend Don that he mentions sometimes in his pieces. But this, my Don, is totally made up, is sort of a foil that I attack.
Okay, Jack, don't disappoint me here. You also make a lot of references to your funny cowboy dance. Please tell me
my
that's
funny
not
cowboy.
Made up.
The funny cowboy dance is real, but only performed
for Cameron Diaz.
For Cameron Diaz.
Cameron
Diaz. And my wife in my underpants. So,
well, would you do it, like, say, Deborah Winger, if she asked, would you do it for her?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Good. Jack, when you sit down to write an essay, where do you begin, honestly? Do you have a little black notebook where you start from that you jot thoughts down? Or how does all this genius pour out of you all over the floor?
Well, usually, actually, I'm laying on the floor throwing a football against the ceiling.
Really?
For hours at a time, yeah, and trying to come up with ideas, and then you write down ideas and then just let them ripen, I guess, because you go back through them, and after a few weeks or months or whatever, you go, hey, this one kind of clicks. You know, I'm usually suspicious of ideas that I like right away. Usually they have to sort of leaven for a while.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think, and you're the master of this, but I would think that most comedic ideas remain fresh when they're uncensored, and you say you like to let them leaven.
Yeah, I don't know. Usually the ideas that I'm crazy about to begin with are not very good. It turns out, you know, you start going down that road, and it's not really a lot there, but the ones that you put aside and you go, let me think, what could that work? And then you keep looking at it. Those are the ones that usually work out best.
Do you throw a Nerf football at the ceiling or a regular one?
It's kind of a regular one, but it's plastic. It's a red plastic football.
Now, it seems like one of your trademark moves is to start with something simple or even borderline cliche, and then you take it somewhere totally unexpected. Like you say, this is as real as a baby deer calling out for his mother, but his mother won't be coming home anytime soon because she's drunk in a bar somewhere.
Right.
So is that a conscious thing that you do, that you sort of write down all these fatuous things and then give them a twist?
I guess it's not conscious. It's just bad brain wiring or something. But, you start going down the road and you can't help but subvert it, I guess. And how you subvert it is what makes a good joke or not, I guess. But, there's a tendency... you know, to go dark or weird, but dark and weird isn't necessarily funny all the time. It has to be funny and dark and weird. So that's sort of the formula you're going for.
Do you make yourself laugh out loud when you're thinking and writing?
Rarely. If I get sort of a chuckle out of a piece or some jokes that I've written, then I know, hey, there's something here because it's even making me laugh. But most of the time, no. You know, it's my friend Jim Downey, a writer at Saturday Night Live, said, you know, sort of a reverse on the cliche, but he said, I don't write to entertain myself. I write to entertain others because, you know, entertaining myself is not necessarily what people like. So I kind of look at it that way, too. It has to be accessible, but in the character that I do.
You just mentioned Jim Downey, and I believe he's been there since SNL started, right?
He's been there for quite a while. I think maybe missed the very first year or something.
And I think he was credited recently with writing that sketch about the Obama-Hillary debate, the first show back from the writer's strike.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Are you following the way that SNL is sort of being seemingly newly relevant to politics right now?
Yeah, Jim has sort of... revived the whole thing with those pieces, and so I told him, I was talking to him the other day, and I said, well, if Hillary Clinton gets elected and makes you ambassador, you know, make me your limo driver or something, you know, we'll move to Paris or something like that. But yeah, it's pretty funny how it just struck a nerve, the whole Obama thing. But he's a great writer.
When you were on SNL, did you do much of the political writing? Seems like your stuff was rather eternal, like unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Yeah, I sort of, I don't have a real handle on political writing. I did a few pieces, one with Al Franken and one with Jim, but mostly my stuff was, I guess, as they say, I tried to do evergreen kind of stuff where it was just timeless. You know, I don't know why. Maybe just because I'm not that good at the political stuff, but I just enjoy more. It's usually the stuff I did on Saturday Night Live was little boy stuff like dinosaurs and cowboys and monsters and that kind of thing, you know, and which is another, handy tool for subvert, you know, making it go dark or something, because if it's a nice, happy bunny, but he kills people, then, you know, it's comedy.
Do you have kids, Jack?
No, I don't have children. I have 3 cats and a dog.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, what kind of bedtime stories do you tell your children? Do you have nieces and nephews or any sort of children that you've scarred, whom you've scarred?
I actually, the one, I don't know if you remember, but there's the deep thought about Disneyland and telling my net.
Sorry, well, keep going. I remember, but say it out loud.
It was like my nephew, I can't remember exactly, but my nephew wanted to go to Disneyland, and I said, oh no, Disneyland burned down, which actually happened to my sister. My sister was visiting me in L.A. with her little boy, and he wanted to go to Disneyland. And I said, oh no, didn't you hear it burned down? And he started crying. I felt really bad.
Oh.
But that is the origin of that deep thought in real life. So.
Please tell me you took him there to make up for it.
I think we probably did.
Okay. Now, Jack Handy, how the hell did this rumor start that you didn't exist? I believed that like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's still pretty prevalent. I think because it's, first of all, it's like a funny sounding name, you know, Jack Handy. The first joke I ever sold was to the comedian Steve Allen, and he wrote me back a letter and said, your name sounds like a product. Get your new Jack Handy. It slices, it dices, which is true. You know, it sounds like, I don't know, pump handle or whatever. But I guess it sounds funny. And because my face was never on camera, people somehow assumed that it was either a composite of all the writers on Saturday Night Live or it was Al Franken or it was Steve Martin. I still go in when I check into a hotel or something, and some guy will recognize my name and go, oh, you have the same name as that guy on Saturday Night Live. And I'll go, hey, that's me. And they go, yeah, wow, what a coincidence. You have the same name as the guy on Saturday Night Live. So there's no winning. You know, you kind of get your name a little bit famous, but people still think it's a fake. So.
Oh, but Jack, I actually think it's the biggest compliment ever. It's like how people write books that Shakespeare couldn't really be a real person because he was so talented and brilliant. That's like you.
Oh, good.
They think that you can't be a real person.
Okay, I'm buying this theory. This sounds good to me.
Thank you so much for talking with us today, Jack, if it's really you.
Yeah, who knows? Well, thank you, Faith. I appreciate you having me on.
My guest has been humorist Jack Handy. His new book, What I'd Say to the Martians and Other Veiled Threats, is in stores now. To learn more about Jack, please go to our website, morefairgame.org.